We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sportsbook. Bet now at action247.com. 92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
Here, my name is Gary Parish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Ben Adol's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can. Daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and Wendry. And I hope we didn't trick you yesterday into thinking the shorthanded Grizzlies would actually go to Pfizer Forum and beat the reigning NBA champions without four of their top eight scorers. If so, we apologize. I apologize. I also apologize on behalf of Big Bet Bennett. We were just trying to be optimistic.
You got close there.
Did get close at the end.
You got close.
We were trying to be optimistic.
Yeah.
We will remain that way. But as you know, the Grizzlies, they lost last night in Milwaukee. Played hard. Competed. But ultimately, it was a 126-114 defeat at the hands of the Bucks. That was, if losses can be encouraging, kind of encouraging, because Ja and Jaren were both really good. We'll talk about it momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 4:20 in the next segment, Steven Johnson's going to join me. Covers Penny Hardaway's Tigers for the Daily Memphian. Whole bunch of stuff going on with the Tigers. They're playing tonight. SMU's in town. Game tips off 6 o'clock inside FedEx Forum. Steven Johnson's going to be here in the next segment. He'll help us get ready for that. When I finish that, take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point we'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories, among them Auburn and Kentucky, both won last night, which sets the stage for Saturday's showdown between John Calipari and Bruce Pearl inside Auburn Arena. I'm going to be the sideline reporter for CBS on Saturday, so that be a wild scene. Disrupted my weekend plans. Perhaps I'll tell you about that. We'll discuss it around 4:44. Turns out Shaedon Sharpe, the number one prospect in the class of 2022, will be eligible for the 2022 NBA draft. So he might not be in a Kentucky uniform next season the way so many have assumed he would. I'll give the details on that development a little later on this hour. The Tampa Bay Rays plan to split time between Tampa and Montreal has been rejected by Major League Baseball. Good, I say, because it's a goofy idea. I'll tell you more about it just before 5 o'clock. And Frank Vogel benched Russell Westbrook for the final 3-plus minutes of last night's loss to the Pacers. It's a bad marriage that doesn't appear like it's going to get fixed. We'll talk about that during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Cogg is just like always, and I will eventually do dinner to go, and we'll get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with the Memphis Grizzlies because they played a high-profile game last night in the fake Forum up in Milwaukee. They did not win. They did not cover. Final score, Bucks 126, Grizzlies 114. Big Bet Bennett, When did you first realize last night that the Grizzlies might have a hard time winning in Milwaukee without four of their top eight scorers?
When literally, like, every guy that was on our team played almost 30 minutes. That was pretty much it.
I don't have a problem with some of the guys playing 30 minutes, but if you're trying to beat the reigning world champions, you probably don't need some of the people who played last night playing significant minutes as consistently as they did.
I think that's accurate. I mean, listen, they put forth a good effort. It's just this road trip, man, it's going to be hard without so many guys on this team that play. Like, it just is.
Health and safety protocols are no fun.
They are not fun.
They are taking a toll on, or they have taken a toll on various NBA teams, and it appears that this is the Grizzlies' turn to deal with it.
Yeah, and it's bad timing. Like I said, like, this is a difficult road trip they're on right now. They are not playing a bad team.
San Antonio?
I mean, are they bad, though?
Well, they're never.
Like, it's there. You know what I mean? Like, they're not bad. They're still the Spurs, like, in a sense. They got Pop on the sideline.
They do have Pop on the sideline. That can confirm that.
Yeah.
Last night was at Milwaukee. Next up at Denver on Friday. Then Sunday at Dallas. Then Wednesday at San Antonio. Not simple.
Not simple at all. I mean, I would be down to get, like, a win on this road trip. That's why it's great you build this cushion, right?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They have a cushion.
Yeah, you got a cushion.
This is why you build cushions.
This is why you build cushions in the NBA, GP. That's what I've always said.
So that when four of your top eight scorers are sidelined for various reasons, some because of injury, some because of health and safety protocols, you've got this cushion. You can endure maybe a 1-3 road trip and still find yourself in maybe the top three of the Western Conference standings, probably the top four. So we've moved past the point of moral victories. I think that's true.
Yes, yes, yes.
When you got the third most wins in the NBA, we're beyond moral victories. But if you can find some good in a loss, there was some good in last night's loss. Ja Morant was very good, 12 of 27 from the field,
yeah,
4 of 10 from 3, 33 points, 14 assists, 8 rebounds, only one turnover, 14 assists, one turnover.
That's pretty dang good right
I'd
there.
I'd take that from the Tigers tonight.
Yeah.
Like the entire team.
Mm-hmm.
14 assists, one turnover.
That'll work.
That'll
get it done.
That'll get you a win over SMU.
Yeah.
I doubt they'll have that same type of assist-to-turnover ratio.
Fingers crossed.
So he was terrific. Jaren Jackson Jr., also terrific. 9 of 20 from the field, 2 of 6 from 3, 29 points, 9 rebounds, 4 blocks. And so, if you were somebody who believed that for the Grizzlies to have a chance last night, they were going to have to get super big performances from their two young stars, well, they did get really good performances from their two young stars. It just obviously wasn't enough because, again, they're the reigning world champions and you're missing four of your top eight. That's going to be difficult. But you did get a good Ja performance, a good Jaren Jackson Jr. performance. And so the Grizzlies are now 31-16, still alone in third in the Western Conference standings. They're 2.5 games behind the Warriors for second. Just one game up now on the Jazz, who are in fourth. And then they're 4 games up on the Mavericks, who are in fifth. So speaking of that cushion, the Grizzlies have a 4-game cushion as it pertains to staying in the top four. So, like, you could lose the rest of these games on the road trips. You're still going to be in the top four.
Yeah, and really, you know, again, like, you'd love to be able to, I think, two, you'd be ecstatic if you could get that on this road trip. But you're really, I think, looking at that Dallas game, like, man, if we could get that one, that would be massive.
Well, the Dallas win, I know the math doesn't quite work like this, but it's almost like it counts twice.
Yeah.
It pushes you up, pushes them down.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if you want to get one on this trip, that's the one you want to get. Can we agree on this? You'd kill for, let's call it a 4-game road trip. You've already lost one.
Mm-hmm.
You'd kill for 2-2.
Yeah, I'd be super happy with that.
If you could win 2 of the next 3, you'd be super duper happy.
Yeah, because the one tomorrow night, I mean, you're at Denver. They're playing incredible right now. Jokic, reigning MVP,
Woo!
Is
you
playing.
You see him last night?
Dude, did you see that pass to Aaron Gordon?
Like, outrageous.
That was stupid. Yeah, so they're playing really well right now, so that one's going to be tough. Yeah, I think 2-2 you take every day.
Yeah, Jokic, like Joel Embiid had this 50-point night last night. It was like, well, nobody's going to have a better night than that. And then Jokic goes like a monster performance,
yeah.
Big triple-double. He's playing at a high level. By the way, the 538 blog now projects the Grizzlies to finish 52-30, which projects us third in the West.
Good. I think that's totally achievable.
Based on the current projections.
Yep.
Guess who that sets up a first-round series with?
The Lakers.
No. They stink.
The T-Wolves.
Nope. We just got through talking about them.
The Denver Nuggets.
Yep.
Man.
I don't love that.
I don't love that at all. That ain't fair.
Here's the problem, though. Because that was my first reaction. I was like, ugh, play somebody else. But really, when you start looking at the options, if the Grizzlies are, you know, going to finish, like, you start looking at the options, like, who can they play? And
I mean, you know what, though? I take that back. Like, if we've got home court advantage, like, I don't see any reason why the Grizzlies couldn't beat the Nuggets in a 7-game series. It would be tough, but I don't see why they couldn't do it.
Yeah, like, my initial reaction to that was like, ooh, Grizzlies Nuggets. I don't love that.
Yeah.
But, like, what would you rather have? Grizzlies Jazz?
I mean, I think I'd rather have the Nuggets. Yeah, I think I'd rather have the Nuggets. Even though the Jazz aren't playing good right now, I still think I'd rather have the Nuggets in the first round.
Grizzlies Mavericks?
You've struggled with them.
I know.
You've struggled with them. It is Ja versus Luka, though, in the playoffs. That's a lot of fun.
Grizzlies Timberwolves?
It's another one where it's like, oh, yeah, you take that for sure, but that's a team that they've played you well, the three games y'all played. They've played you really well. I would take that one, though, for
sure. What you notice is that you go, oh, wow, they're in third in the West right now. 538 projects them to finish third in the West. What that implies is, okay, they're going to win a first-round series. And then you start looking at who they're going to have to play in the first round, then
it's not a given, no.
It's not a given. Whatever they're up against will be tough. Fingers crossed everybody will be out of health and safety protocols by then.
God, I hope so.
That'll at least help.
Yeah.
Also worth noting today, the fan votes for the NBA All-Star game were updated. Ja Morant remains second among Western Conference guards. Steph Curry up to 6 million votes. Ja Morant is second. Western Conference guards with 2.6 million. And Luka Doncic is third with 1.9 million. So Ja's got roughly a 700,000 vote lead on Luka Doncic. And voting ends Saturday. He can't make that up in 2 days, can he?
No.
I mean, we've been voting for weeks.
Yeah.
And the total for Ja's 2.6.
I also think that this kind of coincides a little bit with the national coverage that we've talked about that Ja's been getting recently, like on all these ESPN, Fox shows. Like, I think that is a big part of this because, let's just be honest, I mean, we're not the biggest market, right? We're a small market. And so it's not just Memphians getting this done. This is happening around the country for him.
Here's what I submit. If after weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of voting, you're Luka Doncic and you only have 1.9 million votes, you can't make up a 700,000 deficit on Ja Morant in 2 days.
Yeah, if that happens, I'm going to need an investigation in the voting process.
I'm not one to question voting.
I'm going to question these votes.
But I think I might have to question the voting.
Mm-hmm.
If Luka Doncic makes up that gap on Ja Morant in a span of a couple of days.
Yeah, that ain't enough time. There's funny business going on if that happens.
That would be some funny business.
That would be extremely funny business, yes.
I'm not the type to be out here questioning elections.
No, we don't want to go down that road. Not again.
But if Luka Doncic catches Ja Morant in the next 2 days, I feel like I'm going to have to launch an investigation.
Yeah, we'll need a recount for sure.
We'll have to recount that for sure. He's not catching him. Ja Morant's going to finish top two among Western Conference guards. That's 50% of the vote for who's going to be the starting guards in the NBA All-Star game. And then if you look at who else could the coaches vote for or the media vote for, they're just not great options.
No.
It's like Luka's Luka, I got it. But Ja's having a better season.
Yep, absolutely.
Klay Thompson's barely played. Get out of my face.
Yeah, stop.
The media and the coaches aren't voting for Klay Thompson.
No, not at all.
Devin Booker?
I mean, they're the one seed. you know, I could see the argument. I could see the argument.
Your media, your coaches, media players, you vote for Devin Booker, he starts in the All-Star game, might get Kendall Jenner courtside. Is it worth doing?
No.
It's something you got to think about, Bennett.
I don't know.
It's something that has to be considered.
It's a nice thing to consider, but I still want Ja.
Russell Westbrook?
Stop.
He can't even play for the Lakers.
No, he forgot how to play basketball.
This should be a rule. If it's not written, they should put this in there. If you can no longer play the closing minutes for your own team,
yeah,
you're not under consideration for starting in the All-Star game.
Absolutely not.
I'm just going right down the voting for Western Conference guards. Chris Paul?
You know, you would hope that him and Booker kind of cancel each other out here, right?
Donovan Mitchell?
Mm-hmm. He's good. Ja's having a better year.
Damian Lillard? He's hurt.
Stop.
Anthony Edwards?
Having a good year, not good, not like Ja.
That's the thing. If Ja's going to get 50% of the vote by being in the top two among Western Conference guards in fan votes, then there's just not enough stuff there to make the media or any other people voting take him out of that starting lineup. He's going to start in the All-Star game.
Yeah, I think that's happening.
And it's not just because he's popular now. It's not just because he's hot now. It's because he deserves it.
Yep.
In this season, he has been one of the two best guards in the Western Conference. And the fan voting doesn't always reflect that, because fans vote for who they like, evidence being Klay Thompson's right there.
Mm-hmm.
But in this instance, as it pertains specifically to Western Conference guards, the fans have got this right. Who have been the two best Western Conference guards in the NBA this season? It's Steph Curry and Ja Morant. I don't think you can intelligently argue otherwise. When you take into consideration everything you should be considering, I don't think you can intelligently argue otherwise. The two best guards in the West, Steph Curry and Ja Morant, they also happen to be the two leading vote-getters among Western Conference guards, and barring a surprise, both will start in the All-Star game. Stephen Johnson covers Penny Hardaway's Tigers for the Daily Memphian. SMU's in town. Tigers back inside FedEx Forum tonight. Tip-off schedule for just a bit after 6 o'clock. Talk to Stephen Johnson about Memphis SMU next. You're listening. Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Here come the menaces to sobriety, like what? What? Super Thug is thumping on a cut. What?
Cooper Systems over in the Mount Moriah Office Park on the web, coopersystems.com. If you're in the market for a computer, high-end, low-end, middle-of-the-road, desktop, notebook, tablet, get in touch with Lee and Lauren Cooper or any of the consultants at Cooper Systems. You can reach them at 360-9679. That's 901-360-9679. What you want to do is tell them what it is you're going to be doing on a computer. Like, what do you need a computer to do? Because, like, there's different answers to that question. Are you a gamer? You need a gaming computer. Those cost a little bit. But if you're just somebody messing around on YouTube and emailing, you don't need to spend a lot of money on a computer. What Cooper Systems does is they help you find a computer that is perfectly suited for you. If it's perfectly suited for you, it's going to be better price for you. If it's a better price for you, you're saving money. They also handle computer repair, virus removal, data recovery. Before you give up on a machine, give Lee and Lauren a call. They can probably get it back good as new. 360-9679, 360-9679. That's Cooper Systems. Mount Moriah Office Park on the web, coopersystems.com. Steven Johnson covers Penny Hardaway's Tigers for the Daily Memphian. Memphis back inside FedEx Forum tonight. SMU's in town. Tip-off scheduled for a little after 6 o'clock. Steven will help us get ready for it, making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview, presented by The Wing Guru, online at thewingguru.com.
So, Steven, let's start with yesterday's news. Penny Hardaway confirming that Rasheed Wallace is no longer an assistant coach. He described him as a, quote, consultant, somebody who is working remotely. A lot of theories about what happened here. The most common one seems to be that it is tied to Rasheed's vaccination status. Is that your understanding, that the reason Rasheed Wallace is no longer a member of the Memphis coaching staff in any sort of meaningful way is because of his vaccination status?
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing. I remember during the season when the coaches kind of were some didn't have the mask on. He was always had his on, so I wonder if that was an issue early on. I hope the noise is okay. I'm actually walking up to the forum right now.
Sounds good.
Okay. Yeah, but basically that's what we've been hearing so far. You know, he was in protocols when DeAndre and Jalen went in, and as the weeks and the days went on, you were like, hey, man, that's a long time to be in protocols, and obviously it seems like he's okay. So I definitely think something in regards to his vaccination status has something to do with him no longer being on staff. We know Penny Hardaway is vaccinated, and I think it's safe to assume the other assistants are as well, too.
On the court, Penny said yesterday that DeAndre Williams, Alex Lomax, and Landers Nolley will be game-time decisions. Do you expect those three guys to play tonight?
I think they're going to get at least one, maybe two guys back. I think there was some chatter on A-Lo's social media that he might be a little bit more excited for game day than maybe he was when he was sitting out. So I think they'll get at least one of those guys back. And with the way they've looked in these last two games, any extra bodies they can get is going to be a big positive for them.
There's no question, especially when, you know, two of those bodies theoretically could be DeAndre Williams and Landers Nolley. They were the two best players on the team last season. They are two of the best players on the team this season. I don't like to make excuses because the truth is you should beat East Carolina even without Alex Lomax, DeAndre Williams, and Landers Nolley. But there's nothing fun about playing as shorthanded as Memphis has had to play too many games this season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there is a level of grace maybe you can give them, but you got to kind of go back to the non-conference when you were fully healthy and you lost some games you weren't supposed to. So now I think maybe if you handled your business earlier, whether it be, you know, bracketologists and all these other guys in the media, maybe there'd be a little bit more grace. But at the end of the day, like Penny said yesterday, Penny said the other day on his radio show, nobody cares about the excuses. You know, they wore down some of their best players, but they still have more than enough talent to win some of these games. And, of course, on Saturday, they just collapsed after leading by nearly 20 points.
Talking to Steven Johnson from the Daily Memphian. He's on Twitter, at Steven M. Johnson _. Do you have a sense for how the guys are handling this? You know, folks in this market are very passionate, intense about Memphis basketball. When it's going well, I can't imagine there's anything better or many things better than being a University of Memphis men's basketball player. When it's going poorly, the opposite is probably true. Do you have a sense how they're handling this adversity and the criticism that goes hand in hand with it?
I think it's pretty clear that they hear it. It's been very vocal because, of course, there were so many expectations with this season. So I think Malcolm Dandridge had a post a while ago, not necessarily calling out the fans or asking them to do better. You know, I think Jeremiah Martin chimed in. So I think the players are aware of it. And honestly, sometimes I wonder if that translates onto the court. You know, Penny has said it himself. It's like the guys out there, they feel so much pressure. There's a lot of weight on their shoulders. So I think they hear it. I think it has some impact on the team. And, you know, when you had a season that was supposed to go much differently than this, the criticism is going to be loud.
In your scouting report previewing tonight's game, which was really well done, one of the notes you make is that SMU is a really good three-point shooting team. They shoot 37.6% from the arc. That ranks top 35 in the country. And I think more importantly, is that they take 43% of their field goal attempts from the three-point line. So they don't only make them when they shoot them. They shoot a lot of them. On the other side, the Tigers have not been good guarding the three-point line. Teams are shooting 34% against Memphis from the arc. That ranks 207th in the country. If Memphis gets upset tonight at home, is that the most likely place it happens at the SMU three-point line?
Yeah, I got to think so. They've allowed three straight teams to have double-digit three-pointers made against them. And it's kind of some of the same issues. Penny kind of put it on the youth of the team, you know, starting out the freshmen and things like that. But they're giving up too many wide-open looks. I'm not sure if there's something with their switches, the communication. But teams are getting wide-open looks. They're knocking them down at a high rate. So, you know, SMU, I think seeing what these last three teams have done against them, especially with Kendrick Davis, I think they're going to make it an emphasis to attack them from the three-point line, because why attack, you know, a Jalen Duren or maybe a potentially DeAndre Williams, we can get a much better quality look from outside and get a wide-open three-pointer.
Memphis obviously ranked number one in adjusted defensive efficiency in the entire country last season. This season haven't been as good. It is different players in some spots. I get that. But I didn't expect them to go from first to 56. Do you have a grasp for why Memphis has been just an okay defensive team as opposed to an elite defensive team, the defensive team they were last season?
Well, I think that's where the injuries probably play the most impact, especially when you go to Tulane and you give up almost 85 points. You know, they were without Jalen and DeAndre Williams. So I think not having those two guys out there defensively as rim protectors and also their ability just to kind of switch, I think Memphis defense looks a little more in sync when they have DeAndre and Jalen out there, and they're more comfortable than, say, a Malcolm Dandridge or even a Josh Minot in some of those switching situations. So not having those two guys consistently, I think, plays a part in it. Just having guys in and out in the lineup, and I think also not having Alo these last few games, as just kind of a bulldog defender just put on somebody, has all led to it. And honestly, they're a great offensive rebounding team. They're not the same quality on defense. So there are a lot of possessions where they get a stop, but they'll give up an offensive rebound and they can't get the ball back on offense. So I think it's a lot of little things, injuries, as particularly to the big man, but I also think some of the youth has played a part in some of their struggles.
I asked you about how you think the players are handling the criticism from the fans and from the media. I'm curious, like, I remember when I was the beat writer another lifetime ago, I did my best to try to keep tabs on, like, the way fans were feeling about whatever was happening around the program. And it feels obvious at this point that people have sort of turned a little bit in a direction that nobody would have anticipated at the beginning of this season. Can you speak to that? Just sort of where's the fan base right now as it pertains to this team and the program in general?
Well, I think you kind of hit the nail. I mean, I think you kind of said it straight up. A lot of the people there were probably the most dedicated, Penny Hardaway and Memphis Tigers supporters. It's kind of hard to defend the product. You know, you still have the fans that are holding on, trying to be optimistic, which you understand with the talent level. But more and more, you're starting to see people, I think, kind of turn the other direction. Honestly, question what's going on. I don't think the Rasheed news helped out either. And I know every time I'm quoting Penny Hardaway from a press conference or a Zoom or something like that, somebody always has an issue with what he's saying. So I would say the fan base, there's still a hint of optimism left, but you're seeing more and more people kind of turn on Penny Hardaway. And that was, I think, the last outcome we expected when they landed Imani Bates and Jalen Duren in the offseason.
I'm wrapping up here with Steven Johnson from the Daily Memphian. You know, this is the time of year where people start studying projected brackets. They want to know where Jerry Palm's got you, want to know where Joe Lunardi's got you. At this moment, Memphis is on the outside looking in on the wrong side of the bubble. Is there a scenario? Or let me put it this way. How likely do you think it is that heading into the AAC tournament, Memphis is on the right side of the bubble and in a position to receive an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament?
With their talent, they have a shot. I think the American is just good enough where I think they can probably get enough, maybe quad one or quad two wins, where they could kind of be one of those last teams in. But the thing with Memphis, man, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they win tonight but then struggle and lose against Tulsa. Right now, it's more so about not can they beat these teams, but can they string together enough games in a row where they're winning four games in a row, five games in a row, instead of, you know, alternating losses, or we win three here, we lose two here. So So the Tigers have the talent, especially if you beat a Houston twice. You know, I think they have enough talent where they can make an at-large. And I think the fact they're – I think Joe Lunardi has them as, like, right outside the next four out. So they're on the wrong side of the bubble, but it's not like they don't have a shot right now. It's just more so about they got to take it one game at a time. And if they can get – tonight will be a quality win, I think, will be helpful. They just got to stack these wins up. So there's a chance, but – I will probably put it under 50% right now, just based on what I've seen.
That's fair. That's Stephen Johnson from the Daily Memphian. He's on Twitter at StephenMJohnson_. Make sure you're reading him at DailyMemphian.com. Thank you for your time. Enjoy the game. We'll read you just as soon as you file after it's over.
All right. Thank you so much, Garrett.
Take care. That's Stephen Johnson from the Daily Memphian. I asked the question about the fans because there was a time, and it was like even not too long ago, where if you were critical, fairly critical, of Penny, the program, or anything connected to it, the diehard fans would still, like, pile up on you a little bit.
Sure, yeah.
Like, when I come on radio, you know, a few weeks back, and express confusion and disappointment, embarrassment, that Memphis would enter this basketball season with so many players unvaccinated in a way that we now know was undeniably a ticking time bomb. Like, it was going to be hard to get through this season in the middle of a pandemic, even if your team's 100% vaccinated. But when you have so many unvaccinated players, there's just no way. And so when they have to cancel the Tennessee game, and we find out it's not because they had, you know, seven breakthrough cases, which was like the case at Duke and UCLA and Ohio State, 100% vaccinated teams, so many breakthrough cases, they got to shut down. It wasn't that as much as it was just contact tracing. You talk about it. You're disappointed in it. Nobody with a brain could disagree with you. But there were still people out there disagreeing with you because they cared so deeply about Memphis and they were protective of it. So blinded by their fandom that you can't even speak honestly with them and hope that they'll get it because they just don't. It's a little bit like the James Wiseman thing. Everybody acknowledges now it was idiotic to play James Wiseman. Even the diehard Memphis fans understand it was stupid to play James Wiseman. I bet you even deep down Penny Hardaway now knows it was stupid to play James Wiseman.
Well, sure, because now you have all this stuff in the background, right, that's hovering over your head.
But here's my point. In real time, when that went down, there weren't a lot of people with me yelling it was stupid to play James Wiseman.
No, there was not.
And there were Memphis fans, people I even considered friends, or acquaintances at least, who were critical of me because I was saying that's the most idiotic thing they could do is put James Wiseman on the court. And I had people I know, like, sending me wild stuff on Twitter. Now, fast forward, everybody knows I was right. Everybody agrees it was stupid. But in that moment, folks were so in love with the idea of Penny Hardaway and that program, blinded by their fandom. I don't even blame them. That's what fans are. But they were so still positively, emotionally attached to it, they didn't want to hear anybody being critical of it, even if the criticism was fair and correct.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've gotten away from that. I think right now I can criticize what's going on in the Memphis basketball program, and most of the fans will be like, yeah, it is. It is wild.
Yeah, because I think, too, is we're 4 years into it, and it's this team. I mean, just you look at the roster on paper, and, you know, you have upperclassmen that are good. The team should just be better, right? Like, it just should than they have been.
Even shorthanded, you're supposed to win at Tulane. You're supposed to win at Georgia. You're supposed to win at East Carolina.
Especially at East Carolina.
I mean, especially at all those places.
Yeah.
My point is this. John Martin, my little buddy. You know John Martin, right?
I know John well.
He had a column for the Daily Memphian earlier today. And I'll just read you the way that he linked to it on Twitter. It reads this way. In Memphis, this was supposed to be the season order was restored. It was supposed to be smooth sailing. Instead, it's just been one thing after another, every program has its drama to work through, but all of this in one season, every season. And I went to the comments because it's John Martin, Daily Memphian. Most of the people who are going to take the time to reply to it, even see it, are going to be Memphians, by extension, Memphis fans.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the comments are, can we just go hire Rick Pitino?
Yeah.
I agree with you. It's not completely what is wrong with our program, why did this happen, but it is mostly what is wrong with our program, why are these things happening? And I've heard that from like people I've known forever who are lifelong Tiger fans, who care deeply about that basketball program. The type of people who every time you see them, they got a blue shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, not out like I'm done, but just like exhausted. Exhausted. Like, why do all these things that don't happen other places happen here all the time?
Yeah. And I mean, you mentioned those losses, like put specifically the at Tulane, at East Carolina, like as a Memphis fan, like I do think when you say exhaustion, it is one of those things like, oh man, are we really going to lose to teams like this again this season? Like I thought that was behind us.
Well, it's not even just losing games. I mean, there are other disappointing teams in the country, Michigan, and Oregon, at least for most of this season.
But those games that they never lost when the program was performing at a high level.
Yeah, I think when I say exhausting, sure, the most important things are the win and losses. You could deal with the other stuff if, like, the team was undefeated and ranked third in the country. But it is the other stuff combined with the losses that just becomes exhausting. Like, why do we have so many unvaccinated players when most other high-major schools don't? Why do we have an assistant coach who just disappeared and then turns out weird, he just walked away or was asked to go away because of his vaccination status? Why do we have one of our players' fathers talking to the local media saying he doesn't even believe his son's ankle is really injured? Like, why all this stuff all the time? It's just exhausting. Like, I really don't know any other program in the country that has had to deal with as many things, just things, mm-hmm. that Memphis has had to deal with this season. And it's been a common theme for the past 4 years. It would be awesome to just sit around and talk about basketball, about offensive rebounding percentage, and how do you get the turnovers under control?
Yeah.
And what do you do at the point guard position? Too often with this program, we're not in a place where we can just talk about basketball. We're talking about all these other things. And I do think for a lot of the hardcore fans, it has just become exhausting. Nothing that a 5-game winning streak couldn't fix, but
you ain't lying.
I think we have reached a point, and boy, if you lose tonight, it'll get even worse. But we've reached the point where fans are just like, ah, just I can't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I will do it some more, but I don't feel like I can do it anymore. By the way, as for tonight's game, Jason Munns, Commercial Appeal, has tweeted that Alex Lomax is going through pregame warmups. Landers Nolly, he just tweeted, has emerged from the locker room. Munns is there courtside.
Mm-hmm.
But he is not in uniform.
Okay.
Now, it's only 4:42. You know, he could put his uniform on in the next hour, 20 minutes, probably be fine. But given that the rest of the team is or has been on the court, and Landers Nolly just emerged from the locker room, not in his uniform, I guess we can agree it's probably not a great sign that he's going to play. But we'll see. Tip-off a little after 6 o'clock, SMU in Memphis tonight, inside FedEx Forum. Last night in college basketball, Kentucky won, Auburn won. Sets up an incredible showdown this weekend inside Auburn Arena. It should be two top 10 teams, one of which is ranked number one in the country. It won't because AP voters are goofy, but it's still going to be the biggest game of the weekend. The biggest game Bruce Pearl has coached at home since he took the job at Auburn back in 2014. We'll talk about that next. You're listening to Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
And then you stab me in my back again. You the type to play the joke and try to hide your hand. Not the type to come around and try to play your friend. You the type to cut the grass and snake your bestest man. I'm the type to close the deal and cut my then. See me in person, I look like a ghost. See me in person, I look like a ghost. Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat? Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat? Goat body. All you rap sound like me. Can't tell who is who. You got no real identity. Can't tell you from you.
You looking for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, life insurance, business insurance? Get in touch with Elizabeth Rook Insurance. That's a second generation local agency. Been owned and operated since 1981. It's the home of the Erie rate lock. That's a way to lock in your auto rates indefinitely. Each year you don't have an accident, your deductible drops by $100 and your first accident is forgiven. You need a good insurance policy for your vehicle? Give them a call. Elizabeth Rook Insurance, 901-867-SAVE, 867-7283. You probably got a local dentist, local doctor, local attorney. You also need a local insurance agency. You don't want to, when you have to make a homeowner's claim or automobile claim, call a 1-800 number, talk to somebody in a different part of the country, doesn't know you at all. You want to talk to somebody who knows you, who lives near you. You can sit with them face-to-face if you want to. That's the case with Elizabeth Rook Insurance. Two locations in the Memphis area. One is in Lakeland on Canada Road. The other is in Covington on Highway 51. 901-867-SAVE. 901-867-7283. It's Elizabeth Rook Insurance. Learn more on the web, rookinsurance.com. Jason Munns tweeted again, DeAndre Williams has made his way to the floor in sweatpants. Doesn't look like he'll play tonight. That's according to Jason Munns. Well, so much for being optimistic about getting guys back tonight.
Yeah, that's tough, man.
Based on Munza's Twitter feed, sounds like Alex Lomax will play. DeAndre Williams and Landers Notley, probably not. We'll see as it gets closer to tip time. That's at 6 o'clock, Memphis SMU inside FedEx Forum. I'll talk to Jeff Calkins about it a little after 5 o'clock, but right now I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four stories at 444. Brought to you by Delta Dental of Tennessee. Covering your smile. Four notable stories at 444. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 444. Story number one.
Auburn beat Georgia 83-60 last night. Kentucky beat Texas A&M 64-58 last night. So that clears the way for their weekend showdown at Auburn Arena. Auburn and Kentucky, noon central, leading into Titans game?
I think that's right. Yep, Titans 3:30 Titans 2:30 Central, I think.
You need to figure it out. You're the one going, not me.
I'll be there plenty early enough. Yeah, I'll be fine. I think it's 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 Central. Don't hold me to it.
So we got Kentucky Auburn on America's Most Watched Network, followed by the Titans and the Bengals.
You're damn right.
On America's Most Watched Network. And I got a phone call a couple days ago from one of my bosses, and they said, hey, we need you on the sideline for Kentucky-Auburn. Do you want to do it? Are you in? And I said, of course I'm in. So I'll be on the sideline.
How about that?
How about that?
National exposure. I mean, you already get that anyways, but that...
This is different.
This is the big stage.
It's America's Most Watched Network.
Oh, man.
It's the network of stars.
It's also exciting.
Incredibly screwed up my weekend plans.
Yeah.
As you know, Big Bet Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to wake up tomorrow, and my wife and I and a couple of friends of ours were going to Vegas for the weekend because it's my friend Karen's birthday this week, and then my birthday is next week, and really just looking for an excuse to go do something. And we said, hey, why don't we spend our birthdays, and we'll go to Las Vegas. So it was going to be two couples, and we were going to go, and we had already booked the plane tickets and the whole deal. Like, we were going to Adele's residency tomorrow night.
Ooh, that's tough, man. I know it's hard to get those tickets.
Well, it's not hard to get them if you're just willing to put a credit card in.
I saw that it's one of the hottest tickets in Vegas history.
It's outrageous.
Yeah.
I will tell you that we did not pull the trigger on tickets yet. We were monitoring them on StubHub, and we were going to get them.
Yeah.
They had reached a point where we were like, okay, we're going to buy these, but like, let's see if they go down anymore. And so luckily, we had not pulled the trigger on those, because if we had, it'd be a real mess to try to resell those without taking a loss. So, you know, we just had to cancel some flights and cancel some other things, and it's all good. But instead of spending the weekend in Las Vegas, I'll spend it in Auburn, Alabama. But it should be a wild scene.
Have you been to that campus before?
Yeah, I've been to Auburn several times.
Is it nice?
It's great.
It is?
Yeah. I've been there for football games, and I've been there to visit Bruce Pearl.
Yeah.
Like in the off season, like right after he got the job. Honestly, we were going to the beach, and we were driving through that area.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, hey, let's just drive through Auburn. I'll spend the day with Bruce and get a column out of it. And that was my first time in the arena, and it is a beautiful on-campus facility. But I've never been to a game there, a basketball game. But, like, I don't know if you saw it last night. It was wild. I mean, mm-hmm. It is quite the home court advantage, and they are calling – Saturday's game between Auburn and Kentucky, the biggest home game Bruce Pearl's ever coached since taking the job at Auburn, which by extension makes it the biggest home game that's ever been played inside Auburn Arena. It's another Bruce Pearl versus John Calipari matchup. And I saw earlier today in the secondary market that standing room only tickets, like just to get in the building and mm-hmm. stand up and watch the game from somewhere, like $210.
Jeez.
Just to get in the building, the get-in price without a seat for Saturday's game for Auburn-Kentucky listed it at $210 earlier today. So hate that we had to cancel a trip to Vegas. Those trips are always fun. But there's going to be no better basketball place to be this weekend than down at Auburn for Kentucky and Auburn. And if Auburn is able to win that game, I do think they'll move to number one in the AP poll, even if Gonzaga doesn't lose between now and Monday, because Auburn was only 4 points behind Gonzaga mm-hmm. in this week's poll. And if they add a 23-point win over Georgia and a victory over a Kentucky team that's top 10 at KenPom, top 10 in the net, that's probably – I mean, all it's got to do is move a couple of voters, a couple of spots, and Auburn takes over number one. So I really do think on Saturday – Auburn is probably playing to move to number one in the Associated Press Top 25 poll for the first time in school history. And if you listen when I had Bruce Pearl on earlier in the week, he acknowledged, like, that matters. You know, he said, going into our locker room, we've got a sign. And it doesn't say, go win, stay focused. It says, make history. And moving to number one in the AP poll for the first time in school history is by definition making history. So that's important to him. It's important to the players. It's important to that fan base. And I really do think no matter what Gonzaga does tonight against San Francisco, if Auburn wins Saturday, Auburn will be number one in the AP poll come Monday.
Story number two.
Interesting story from Jonathan Givony earlier today at ESPN.com. Shaedon Sharpe, who was the number one high school prospect in the class of 2022 before he reclassified, is eligible for the 2022 NBA draft. There was some thought that he would only be eligible for the 2023 NBA draft, a little bit like Amani Bates, for a variety of reasons. But as Givony reported today, he graduated in September from high school, and then enrolled at Kentucky in January. Like, he's on campus now.
Mm-hmm.
He could play Saturday. He's eligible. He could play Saturday. Number one prospect in America. He could play Saturday for Kentucky if John Calipari wanted to play him. They've held off on using him because he enrolled in January, and they don't know if he's comfortable enough to, you know, step right into this.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if John wanted to play him Saturday, he could play. And they are, I'm told, going to make a decision on whether to use him this season or not, you know, in the next week or so, 2 weeks maybe. But there was some thought that no matter whether he played this season or not for Kentucky, he's going to be back at Kentucky next season, and then he'll be, you know, the prize newcomer of whatever team John puts together next season. Well, now it's been made clear he doesn't have to be there next season. He can go enter the NBA draft. And Cal Tucker, who covers Kentucky for The Athletic, has reported that the plan right now, regardless, is for Shaedon Sharpe to play at Kentucky next season, even though he is eligible for this upcoming NBA draft. But I will just tell you, everybody I've talked to thinks he's a top five, top 10 pick at worst. And top 10 picks don't usually pass on the draft.
Yeah, you would think you just do it. Even if you're not ready yet, you that money, man.
Very
top 10 pick.
Very few people who are projected as top 10 picks pass on the NBA draft. I remember Marcus Smart did, came back to Oklahoma State for another year.
Mm-hmm.
Blake Griffin did, came back to Oklahoma for another year. But very few people pass on being a top 10 pick. And so if everybody is telling Shaedon Sharpe, you're a top 10 pick, I don't care what the thinking is right now. I'll be surprised if he's not in the 2022 NBA draft. But the more interesting thing now is Kentucky going to try to play him at all this season? And if so, what is he going to look like? On one hand, hey, you got a chance to win a national championship. Let's go play it. On the other hand, if people are already saying you're a top 10 pick, do you really want to jump into the middle of a college basketball season, try to fit into a team you're not really comfortable with?
And then not look good. Yeah.
You know, that's some things that I'm sure parents, agents, coaches, everybody else are trying to balance. But the news today, Shaedon Sharpe, if he wants to be in the 2022 NBA draft, he will be allowed to be in it.
Story number three.
Major League Baseball earlier today rejected the Tampa Bay Rays' controversial plan to split time between Tampa Bay and Montreal. The Rays' owner said that they were disappointed with this. As a baseball fan, I am the opposite of disappointed. What a goofy plan.
Yeah, I forget. Why did they want to do it again? Just because they thought they'd get more fans in Montreal?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.